Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you ready to go this morning? Are you excited? I am. We've been in our series called Built For. I trust it's been helpful to you. We've seen that the church is built for Jesus. The church is built for gospel proclamation. The church is built for generations. That it's built for worship and prayer and new life. And evangelism. And last week we started talking about how the church is built for discipleship from Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to continue where we left off last week and building on this concept. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven after his death and resurrection and appearances to people, he gave his followers, which includes us, the Great Commission, where he said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And most churches base their mission statement on that command to go and make disciples. And different churches say it in different ways. But I believe the mission of the church is to make more and better followers of Jesus. That's our mission. We have been placed here in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, to make more and better followers of Jesus. And so the more part of that mission, more followers of Jesus, obviously has to do with evangelism. And we talked about how found people find people. Found people find people. That's the more part of our mission. And then we've started talking about making better followers of Jesus. That's discipleship. We talked about how maturing people should be maturing people. And so if we think that we are mature because we have a bunch of people who have been saved for a long time, we have the wrong definition of maturity. Because mature people are going to be found people who are finding people, and it's going to be mature people who are constantly looking for other people that they can help learn and grow. So we're building on this foundation of making better followers of Jesus, mature people, maturing people. And we saw in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4 the pattern that Paul gives us for the church, and it's that church leaders equip people to minister and to build up. So we have been given in our church, we've been given leaders with specific talents and abilities, and their job is to equip the saints, equip followers of Jesus for the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that's the pattern. Church leaders are to equip the people to go out and minister and build up. That's not trying to get church leaders out of a job, by the way, because we have to take this this pattern of equipping people very seriously, and part of equipping people is demonstrating it to people. So it's not me saying, you guys need to go out and do all this, and I'm going to just have fun in my office. That's not the concept here, right? But the pattern is not just for one person or a small group of people to do all the work, but for those that have been given those talents and abilities, we're to be equipping the rest of the body to be able to do the work of the ministry. And the goals of discipleship we saw last week are unity and maturity. Unity and maturity. We aren't striving for unity just for unity's sake. Right? Just because you're unified, that in and of itself is not a great thing. If we were unified in our love for the Chicago Cubs, I mean, that'd be kind of cool, but who cares, right? Who really cares in the long run if we agree on sports teams or what food we like or our hobbies? What matters is being unified in our faith and knowledge of Jesus. That's the type of unity that we're longing for here at FBC, a unity of faith and a knowledge of Jesus. And I've been thinking about how awesome it would be if we experienced a prolonged period of time of that kind of unity here, where you know that when you gathered in this place, you were coming together with other people who love Jesus and are just passionate about worshiping Him. When you came together, we were just so excited to learn and grow in our knowledge of Jesus, where our children's teachers came excited to teach our kids that Jesus is better than anyone else. We want to go out into our community to help others see that Jesus, living for Him, is so much better than what they are living for. That is the type of unity that we are striving for, and we want to be maturing people who mature people. And so I've loved the conversations that I've had this week with people in this church about how we can do this better, how we can be maturing people that are maturing people. And I'm starting to see people who are excited to intentionally move others closer to where Jesus is. And I hope that you've been thinking about one person, maybe that you know from coming here to church, that you want to intentionally disciple, that you want to help learn and grow and mature. Maybe you have someone in your mind that you would like to disciple you, that can make you a better follower of Jesus. We want to see that start to happen. I would love to hear stories of people getting together and helping us grow in unity and maturity, because we view discipleship as both programmatic and organic. Let me explain what I mean by that. We view discipleship as both programmatic and organic. We want to intentionally have programs and ministries at our church that intentionally move people closer to Jesus, that make better followers of Jesus in our programs and ministries. So discipleship is programmatic to a degree as a church. But then discipleship is also organic. We want discipleship to be the natural result of the body of Christ connecting with each other and spending time with one another and studying God's Word together and becoming better followers of Jesus together. So this morning, we're going to keep building on this foundation and look at the results of discipleship. And Ephesians 4 also gives us some how to do discipleship. So let's look at Ephesians 4 together. For the context, I'll start in verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here's the verses we're going to focus on this morning. So that, as a result, we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So let me read verse 14 for you again. That's where we'll start. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And so the first result that we see of discipleship is that we will no longer be children that are just tossed to and fro. That little phrase to start off verse 14, that's the type of phrase you should always note when you're reading your Bible. So that. So whenever you see, it's giving you the result of what it's just talked about. And so the leaders are equipping the church for the work of the ministry, and we're being united in our faith and knowledge of Jesus and growing to maturity. So that, here's the result, so we will no longer be children tossed to and fro. Going to the beach in the summer can be such a nice, relaxing experience, unless you have young children. Right? Yes. Beck and I go to Myrtle Beach every year around Labor Day, and for the first 5 years of our marriage, man, that was so relaxing. Last year we took DeAndre. Right? Man, it changes everything. Changes everything. And if you have young kids who enjoy going into the ocean, Moms, that is probably not a relaxing time for you, right? Be careful! Don't go too deep! That's not safe, right? Because moms actually care about the safety of their children, whereas dads, they'll be fine, right? They'll be fine. That's their approach. How's the undertow? It's fine, right? So what are you doing in that moment, mothers? What are you doing? You're looking at your beautiful child and you're comparing him or her to the waves, right? And to the wind and to whatever critters or sharks might be in those waters, which probably aren't there, but you know, that's your fear. And so it's, you're thinking about all those things and comparing them to your child, and you say, my child doesn't stand a chance. Right? If they go too far, if they're not careful, they're going to get swept away. Same concept applies spiritually. When someone is young spiritually, when they're still developing in their knowledge of Jesus, there's all sorts of beliefs and perspectives and experiences that threaten to pull them in and pull them away. And listen, our kids and our teenagers and our college students are not the only ones who are susceptible to this. Because if we as adults are not firmly planted in Jesus as our foundation, if we're not abiding in Him, if we're not in His Word, if we're not surrounding ourselves with people who love Jesus and move us closer to Him, who will help us mature, then we can be just as likely to be swept away into falsehood, into worldly thinking, fake news, right? So we all are in danger of this because our discernment is tested on a daily basis, isn't it? Our discernment as Christians is tested on a daily basis. Every time you read the news, every time you go through your Facebook or Twitter, every time you're listening to conversations amongst your coworkers, your worldview is being tested. And the only connection between your physical age and your spiritual maturity is that the older you are, the more opportunities you have had to mature. So being older does not make you more mature. It just means that you've had more opportunities, more time to mature. And so we don't want to be children tossed to and fro. Rather, verse 15, look at it with me. Rather, speaking the truth in love, and we'll come back to that, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So the result of discipleship is that we will grow up into Christ. We'll be grown up into Christ. We are growing into the One who is the head of the body, into Christ. What a great picture that is of discipleship and maturity. I love it. We are united with Christ at the moment we place our faith in Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to be the leader of our life. And we are collectively growing, maturing more and more into Him who is the head. In how many ways? How many ways are we growing up into Christ according to this verse? In every way. Wow. In every way, we are growing up into Christ. We want to be completely like Him. I hope that's your desire as a follower of Jesus. I hope you see Jesus as so glorious that you just want to be as close to Him as possible, that you want to be connected. Oh God, let us be a church body that is growing up into Christ, who is our head, more and more like Him every day. We want to lean in and get as close as possible to the leader of our life, collectively as a church. So we're not going to be children that are tossed to and fro by all these unbiblical worldviews. Rather, we are going to be rooted and established in Christ. He's our foundation and the one that we're growing up into as our head. I love it. I love it. So how do we do that? So we're striving for unity and maturity. We don't want to be children, but we want to grow up into Christ. How do we do that? Ephesians 4 gives us a few how-tos, and we're going to spend most of our time on this first one. Look at verse 15 with me again. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Allow me to reformat that verse so it's really clear. Rather, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, by speaking the truth in love. So the first way that we accomplish our mission to make better followers of Jesus is we speak the truth in love. I think this is one of those phrases that we take out of context all of the time. This is a line from the Bible that you've probably heard quoted many times, and I think it's usually quoted in this context. I think about a humorous story that one of my friends on Facebook shared about their kid in church. And this is what she wrote. By the way, if you have young kids, please share as many funny stories as possible with them on Facebook. I need more illustrations. Here we go. She says, as we were taking notes during the sermon this morning, I leaned over and encouraged Jeremy to listen and pay attention. Take good notes so you can learn. The message will sink in better. This is one of the biggest keys to maturity, I whispered. He was nodding his head in earnest agreement. Certain I had struck a chord of understanding in my preteen's heart, he leaned over, gently tapped me on the shoulder and said, no offense, but you should consider taking a breath mint. That's what we think about when we think about speaking the truth in love a lot, right? Say hard things in as nice of a way as possible, right? I think that's what comes to people's mind. That is not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about say kind things, say hard things in a kind way. So it's not, if someone gets their hair cut and you really don't like it and they ask you what you think, you say, okay, how do I balance the fact that I'm a Christian and I'm not supposed to lie, but I also don't want them to be mad at me, right? Husbands, you know what we're talking about. Okay, if my wife does something with her appearance that I don't love, how do I communicate that in a loving way? Okay, that's a good principle to live by, especially for marital bliss. Not the point of this passage. Not the point of this passage. Because the context of this passage leads us to understand that Paul, when he says speak the truth in love, he is talking about doctrinal, biblical truth. We'll go back up. So the equippers of the church are leaders who are communicating the truth of God's Word. And then the goal of discipleship is unity and a knowledge of the truth of Jesus. And the danger of not being discipled is that you will be deceived by false teaching, tossed to and fro in false doctrine. And so instead of all of that, we should all speak biblical truth in love. That's what this phrase is saying. We should speak biblical truth in love. If you are not teaching someone more about God's Word, you are not discipling them. If you're not teaching someone more about God's Word, you're not discipling that person. If you want to move people closer to Jesus, it's pretty simple. You love them, and you speak the truth of God's Word to them. You communicate the gospel to them. You direct their attention to Jesus. And so parents, Christian parenting equals discipleship. That's what Christian parenting is. It is discipleship. It is speaking biblical truth in love to our children. You are lovingly teaching them more about Jesus every day. You're drawing their attention to how amazing He is. You're helping them see how He works in everyday life. And this has long been the principle of our youth ministry. We are seeking to build relationships with students. We want them to know that we care. We want them to know that we love them. And then we're teaching them biblical truth and striving to give them godly examples to follow, to see how they live that truth out in daily life. If you want to know what it looks like to speak the truth in love, Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. John 1:14 puts it this way. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So grace and truth, love and truth, are not 50-50 propositions. The Bible is not telling us to have half love and half truth, or half grace and half truth. Jesus was 100% grace and 100% truth and 100% love. He was full of all of them. He was full of truth. Jesus called sin, sin, and then He died for it, full of grace and full of love. He took the punishment for our sin that we deserved in His death on the cross, saying the truth of the matter, that you need someone else to pay this penalty because there is no way you can earn your way to God on your own. That is the truth of the cross. We are in desperate need of someone else to be the perfect sacrifice that we cannot be. He took the punishment for our sins on the cross. He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, offers us forgiveness and an opportunity to live a life telling others about the truth and the love and the grace of Jesus. So I think most people view Christians as falling into the pattern of speaking the truth without love, right? Of, oh, you Christians, you're just all about the truth, but you have no love or mercy or grace or compassion. And that can certainly happen. But church, it's pretty disheartening to see how many Christians are not speaking the truth. They're giving unbiblical advice. In speaking at camp, I've gotten to know another pastor, an older man. His name's Pastor Charles. And what I love about him is if you ask him a question such as, what do you think about, and then fill in whatever blank you want. What do you think about tattoos? What do you think about drinking? What do you think about smoking? What do you think about dating? Whatever question you ask Pastor Charles, his response always starts the same way. He says this, it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what does the Bible say? What do you think about this? Doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what does the Bible say? He had no interest in giving advice that wasn't based on biblical truth. Church, this would change the way we interact with each other. This would change a lot of our social media posts. This would make us so much more effective in discipleship if we could just get into our heads, it doesn't matter what I think. Listen, my thoughts are wrong all of the time. What matters is what does the Bible say? We want to be speaking the truth in love. I mean, this is tremendously important as we try to process everything that's going on in our country right now. As we process the white nationalist events that have taken place over the weekend in Virginia. We need to be able to bring the truth of God's Word into that dialogue. So what we think doesn't matter. What matters is what does the Bible say about those events? And it's easy just to say that that is racist and it is wrong and it's assault on the gospel. That's where we start. But I want us to go even farther than that and notice that anytime people fail to value Jesus as supreme, they will inevitably replace Him with a terrible substitute. Anytime people fail to value Jesus as supreme, they will inevitably replace Him with a terrible substitute. So white supremacy, racial supremacy, gender supremacy, ethnic supremacy, national supremacy are all terrible substitutes for the supremacy of Jesus. Amen? They're terrible substitutes. We were all created in the image of God. We were all created by Jesus and for Jesus, that in everything Jesus might have the preeminence. And our country needs to hear Christians speak the truth of the gospel into these situations. So we desperately need love, because love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. It covers a multitude of sins. That's the kind of love that cost Jesus His life. His love cost Him His life because He was covering the multitude of our sins. And we desperately need truth, because knowing the truth sets us free. We are sanctified by the truth. God's Word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, which means that no one comes to God except through the truth. So we desperately need love, and we desperately need truth, which means we desperately need Jesus. We desperately need Jesus. So let's be a people that are lovingly speaking the truth of the Word, the truth of the Gospel, the truth of Jesus to each other. That's how we become better followers of Jesus. Let me give you a couple more from verse 16. Let me read that for you. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up, and in case you forgot, in love. So the next way that we accomplish discipleship is we rely on Jesus. We speak the truth in love, so that way we grow up into Him who is the head, from whom. Who's the whom there? That's Jesus, who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. From Jesus. We need to rely on Jesus because He is the source of all growth. He is the source of life. We have nothing good apart from Him, because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing of any value. So we have been given a lot of responsibility for the growth of each other as a church body. We have a lot of responsibility in that, and we're going to see that later on, just in verse 16. But our only hope for success in our responsibilities as Christians is to rely on Christ. No true church growth happens outside of Jesus. There's lots of methods to draw crowds. There's different ways to raise money. There's other means of attracting attention. But no growth that matters happens outside of Christ. We are growing up into Him. We're modeling ourselves after Him as our example of maturity. And we are dependent on Jesus for growth and life itself, because the body is totally reliant on the head for nourishment and life. And so if knowing Christ is the goal, relying on Jesus is the method by which we accomplish discipleship. One more. Discipleship happens collectively and when we are connected. Collective and connected. From whom the whole body, collective, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, connected, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If you want to get into shape, do you just do bicep curls every day? Only if your definition of a good shape is walking around like a gorilla, right? That's like the only reason that you would do that. No, you work on different muscles. You run. You pay attention to what you're eating. You stop bad habits like drinking too much or smoking. Why? Because if your whole body isn't healthy, then you aren't healthy. So if your outer physical appearance is magazine worthy, but your kidneys are failing, are you healthy? No. You're very, very sick. So once again, this passage is calling us away from our individualistic mentality as Americans and towards a collective mentality as Christians. We need to be concerned about the whole body of Christ, because healthy growth is collective and it is connected. Growth happens when we are working together. Each part has to be working properly in connection with the rest. I love what one pastor said about this. He said, growth happens through points of contact. Growth happens through points of contact. So we had the opportunity to get connected to a Spanish ministry a few months ago. And they started meeting on Sunday evenings and Sunday afternoons and Thursday evenings in a small group fashion as they try to reach Spanish people in our community with the gospel. And one of the people who's been attending those gatherings is Delia Brew's mother. And it's one thing to know about them is that Delia's mother and father have been separated for over 35 years. But Delia's father, who is nicknamed Pancho, was struggling with cancer. And so around Memorial Day, they had Pancho come and live with them. And Delia's mom actually helped care for her ex-husband during that time, which is just incredible. It's just incredible. He didn't know the Lord. And eventually, he ended up in the hospital. And the people from our Spanish ministry started going to the hospital and meeting with Pancho. And just over a week ago, Pancho died. But a few days before that, Pastor Josiah led him to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? I mean, how beautiful is that? That is someone that I don't know if we could have reached on our own. But because we got connected to Spanish people that love Jesus, that know languages that I don't know, I was talking to Pastor Josiah the other day, and I had to have someone interpret what I was saying to him as I was talking about how awesome it is that he was able to lead this man to Christ before he died. It's just a beautiful thing that I don't even speak the same language as him, but we have the same mission to make more and better followers of Jesus. And because we have the opportunity to let them use our building, someone that we love very much was able to have their family member be led to Christ before their death. Growth is collective and it is connected. It works best when we are joined together, diverse but unified in our faith and knowledge of Jesus. And I don't want you to miss the sentence structure of verse 16. Because if you take away the supporting phrases, I want you to see the simple sentence of Ephesians 4:16. This is what it is. The whole body makes the body grow. That's the simple sentence. So you take away the joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. That just supports it. When each part is working properly, that's another supporting phrase. The simple sentence is this. The whole body makes the body grow. Not the pastor makes the body grow. Not the elders make the body grow. We're part of it. But the whole body makes the body grow. That means that if you consider FBC to be your church, if you are part of the body, the life of our church as a follower of Jesus, you have a responsibility in our growth. You have a responsibility in helping us accomplish the mission of making more and better followers of Jesus. There was a young lady that came to America from another country to get away from a difficult family situation. Unfortunately, that situation she ended up in the States, wasn't any better than the one she had in the other country. And so one day she packed up her suitcase and just started walking. She ended up at a church late at night, and one of the members there found her in the parking lot and offered her a hotel room. Some other people went and brought her to their church where she heard people share about how Jesus changed their life. A couple families took her out to dinner after church and one offered to let her stay with them. The next day, some of the women from the church shared the gospel with her and she ended up placing her faith in Jesus. It's an amazing story of how the whole body makes the body grow. But you want to know something else that's more amazing? That church was our church. And it happened 2 weeks ago. And the young lady that came to know Christ is here. She gave me permission to share her story and she wants you to meet her. So Medina's here. Medina, would you stand so we can celebrate what God's doing in your life? Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Medina. You can have a seat. And so Medina is from Uzbekistan, right? And she ended up in a bad situation in our area. And so she just packed a suitcase and she started walking on a Saturday. And it was 10:30 on a Saturday night, and Mike Musa was bringing food for our fellowship time the next day. And he meant to bring it Friday, and he didn't get a chance, and then he meant to bring it Saturday morning, and he didn't get a chance. So we had to bring it Saturday night after work. It just so happens that that's the same time that Medina was standing in our parking lot with a suitcase. Mike took up a conversation with her. Mike put her up in a hotel. Jim Ferguson and Bill Piazzi went to get her the next morning and brought her to church. That just so happened to be the day that we had our baptism service. And so Medina heard testimony after testimony after testimony of how God has changed their life, of how Jesus changes lives. And after the service, she went and had lunch with Jim and Terry Ferguson and Tony and Tanya, who are from Kazakhstan, which is really close by, and they both spoke Russian. And so they hit it off. And Tony and Tanya offered to have Medina come and stay with them so she could have some place to lay her head. And Medina went to a cookout at the Wintermutes that night and got to know some people there. And then the next day, she was with Nancy Miller and Mary Mace, and they shared the gospel with her, and Medina gave her heart to Christ. How awesome is that? The whole body makes the body grow. That's what it's all about, church. That's what we're trying to do. From Mike making the connection and showing her compassion, to Bill and Jim getting her to church, to the people that shared their testimonies before getting baptized, to Jim and Terry taking her out to eat and working on meeting her physical needs, to Tony and Tanya taking her in, to the Wintermute showing hospitality, to the women sharing the gospel with her. The whole body makes the body grow. And so, church, let's find some more. Right? Let's find some more people that need to know about the love of Jesus. Let's be found people who find people. Let's be reaching people who are far from God. Let's be maturing people who are maturing people. And let's do it all together, because the whole body makes the body grow. Amen? God, I pray for us. Oh yeah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. God, thank you so much for the story that we have to tell. Thank you that you are still in the business of changing lives. Thank you that we are found people that have the opportunity to find people. Thank you that we have the opportunity to mature into likeness of your Son. Help us to be maturing people that are maturing people. Help us to make more and better followers of Jesus. We want story after story and baptism after baptism so that Phillipsburg and Easton in this area know that you change lives and you offer hope and Jesus is better than anyone else. So let us be accomplishing the mission that you gave us, that you are going to build your church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Let us be about making more and better followers of King Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.